All right, all right, all right. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Feeling Stats. You know what I'm saying? Your boy Phil, your boy Kobe. We got a special guest in the house, my boy Chris, here on today. We're going to talk some more sports about it. You know, so we got a jam-packed show about sports today, man. I know it's been a while since we've been here, but we're back. You know, so we're going to get it in, try to get a little session in right now, running down the things that we going on. But how y'all boys feeling? How y'all living, man? How y'all doing?
I'm good, bro. Can't complain over here. Can't complain. I'm good.
That's good.
Well, you know what I'm saying? You know, here we are, man. Let's just go and jump into it, man. I do want to double check. It's been a minute. We do want to give a shout out to the NBA champions, the new NBA champions, the Denver Nuggets. You know what I'm saying? Joker and Jokic and his boys with Murray, Porter Jr., even Bruce Brown, KCP, all the boys. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets on winning the 2023 NBA Finals and Joker being the Finals MVP, as we all expected. You know what I'm saying? He was probably he was the best player in the NBA this year, all the way through, out and through, and he led his team to the NBA Finals. I know you just touching this quick. How did y'all feel about the NBA Finals, and how did y'all feel it went through, and predicting y'all, I guess, series did it go in the amount of games that y'all expected to go with? I'm gonna go ahead and start with Kobe, see what you got on that one real quick.
I ain't gonna lie, once it was the Eastern Conference and Western Conference, but I didn't really think the Heat had too much of a chance. I respected them for making that far. I think it was a great job by Coach Spo, and of course Pat Riley for an office, because you know they don't have a lot of drafted players at all. You know, you just look at their roster, that's not a championship roster, but they definitely have a championship mentality, so you gotta give it up to them. But hats out to Joker, Jamal Murray. You know, they had their points where they were laughing stock, and if not the laughing stock in the NBA, but we got some jokes off on them, especially in the bubble. We had some, you know, some doubts about Jamal Murray and if he could get back to how good he used to be. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even know if that happened. I just think maybe Joker just got extremely good, you know, a lot better. But my question, you know, after I got a question about that after you guys go with your points. But you know, for me, man, hats off to the Nuggets. I guess they got retired 215s. I don't know how that's gonna work.
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy.
That's interesting. Is there a stat that said that in Adam Silver's 10 years in the league, or not 10 years, but however long he's been commission. 10 championship teams, and for David Stern, his 30 years, it was 10. So I think that's an interesting stat when you talk about the parity that we expect to see in the NBA in the future. So, and I wonder how good that is for the sport, because me personally, I think there's a such thing as too much parity, but you know, everybody feels different about that.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, Chris, how was your outlook on the NBA Finals?
The NBA Finals went pretty much how I thought it was going to go. I knew Denver was going to win. I knew they was going to have a quick series. I did not expect them to sweep them. Like, I knew they weren't going to sweep them, because I feel like that Miami culture is, they got in the part that they're going to get one game. But the whole, like, everything, the way it ended up was just Denver had too much talent. You know, they're the toughest team in the NBA, and that was what made the playoffs. They really made the whole playoffs seem easy. If we want to look back on everything that they went through, all of those series seemed like they were pretty easy. I mean, they swept in the Western Conference Finals, and a lot of people, like we said earlier, like Kobe said earlier, because they kind of were like that laughing stock, or people didn't really take them seriously. When they got up against the Lakers, people really thought that, you know, LA would win that series in 6 games, 7 games. People thought that that series would go the other way, and they swept it, and they didn't seem to struggle, and they kept that same energy in the finals. So now it's like, I kind of took your off a little bit. If you want to talk about parity, the league does have parity, but with the way that they dominated, it'll be interesting to see next year if that's a trend, or if the parity will win out, where another team will emerge and kind of be on the same path that they're on.
Okay, yeah, I can see that definitely. With the parity, I don't think it's parity. Like, it's just what makes the NBA great when it comes to their playoffs. Like, it's an old saying that's been saying for years: the best team wins the series. It's just point blank period. Because if you go to the NFL, if you go to football, it's one game. That's it. That's all you get. In the NBA, you get a series, and you have to win a series. And the cliche, the best team wins in the series. And everybody says what they say all the time: it's the first of four. So if you're the better team, you're going to get to that four wins before the next one. And with this one, the Nuggets, like you said, they were the superior team, and they had all their horses. They didn't have to deal with injuries. Like you said, the Miami Heat didn't have to deal with injuries. On top of the injuries, the guys that were playing, like Kobe said, undrafted. They had seven undrafted guys.
Right.
So that's like he said, not a championship roster, but championship mentality, because Spo is that type of coach. And he had Jimmy Butler, who's not going to give up. And you know what I'm saying? He gets those guys that, you know what I'm saying, carry on his back. And not carry on his back, but carry to bring along with him to try to win it. And just like I said, the talent for the Denver Nuggets just overruled the Miami Heat. And I expected to go six. I thought the Heat were going to at least get six, go to six, but five is still a gentleman's sweep, and the best team did win on that, man. And what was that question you wanted to ask, Kobe?
How y'all feel about Joker? You know, how y'all feel about him being the best player in the league?
I have a problem with being the best player in the league.
Do you believe he's the best player in the league? Do you guys believe he's the best player in the league?
I give him top three. It's me. It's my opinion.
Who do you think is the best player in the league, man?
Probably either KD or LeBron be one or two. Then Giannis would be in there. So
KD and LeBron's the best players in the league.
KD, LeBron, and Giannis. You know what I'm saying? You get a chance with Joker in there. Yeah, like those would be my top four guys, probably.
What about you, Chris?
I think this year Joker was the best player in the league, right? Undoubtedly. And I think like that question as a whole, maybe we got to start looking at it a different way, because it's probably not like one definitive answer. But if you look at like, okay, this year he was the best player in the league. This year he was the best player. This year he was the best player. Now we got a group of guys that's in the conversation. So it may not necessarily be like one guy, because he said LeBron and KD. What could you really say to argue against that? It's LeBron and KD. But then you look at the year Joker had this year, and now you add into the conversation. You look at the hurdles Steph was able to overcome last year to get that ring. Now you add into the conversation. And it's kind of like on any given day, any of those guys could be the best player in the league, you know?
Okay. I didn't even expect those answers. I think, to me personally, I think it's clear that Joker's the best player in the league. First, swept LeBron, right?
Right.
Second, I think we definitely see a diminishing KD's skill set. I think Joker's definitely the best player in the league. And if there's people like you guys who haven't really switched over, I'm not saying it's like a religion or anything, but like believe in that yourself. I think next year, if he continues, he'll definitely solidify himself as the best player in the league. And which brings to my point, Joker could be the first player that the world sees as the best player in the league since LeBron, which I think that's big, because even when Steph Curry had that run, I don't think people unanimously thought Steph Curry was the best player in the league. KD, I don't think unanimously thought KD was the best player in the league. Giannis, I think Joker may be the first player since LeBron where we actually everybody's like, no, he's definitely the best player in the league. That's the kind of point I wanted to bring up. Because after this year, when you look at you look at his numbers, it's to me it's hard to say that there's another player better than him.
I got a question for you. I'm gonna cut you off.
No, you good. I was stopping you.
Okay, so like he's the best player in the league as of today. What does he need to do to maintain that going forward? So that, you know, like I said, now we had this conversation with the guys that had these years. What does he need to do to stay the best player in the league?
So he had 25, 12, and 9.8, which
you're
like triple double.
He only didn't do it because they was getting on him about it, and I think he wanted to show he was about winning. I think he purposely didn't average.
So to me, and then of course, let's be real. The MVP race is very close between him and Embiid, and you can argue that he should have won his third consecutive MVP. So it's not even really about what can he do for next year to make you believe. It's just all about, is he still going to be the same caliber player? If he's still the same caliber player to me, he definitely solidifies it. Because at the same time, availability is important too. Remember, that's the reason why LeBron really was the best player for a lot of those years. He never got injured. He never really had to take that break, right? You look at Giannis, the big reason why the Heat was even there to face Joker was because Giannis got injured in the first round. You know what I mean? If Giannis doesn't get injured in the first round, I don't think the Heat make it to the second round, right? So when you just take a look at it, he does everything that you want the best player in the league to be. He shows up every night, all right? I know this is kind of – I'm not going to say he does everything that – I'm not going to put this under that category I just said, but somehow, some way, he's the best player in the league. He plays under the rim. He doesn't play above the rim at all, right? He's – doesn't really have a lot of injuries. I don't really know of him having injuries. I mean, you can kind of say Luka plays under the rim, and Luka is injury prone. I mean, Luka is going to have his injury, especially for someone as young as Luka is, right? And of course, I think he also has a great team. He has, I think, height is making his way back to being dominant in the NBA. I think when we was growing up in the 90s, you had a lot of, you saw your Allen Iversons, you saw your Chris Pauls. I mean, I know Chris Paul's not the 90s, but just that early 2000s, right? You saw a lot of 6 foot guards like really dominate, right? Steph Curry is like 6'5". He's not like a 6 foot guard. Like Steph Curry's not a small guard. I'm thinking that you really, when you're starting to see is like teams that have height, they're good. Like, I think a big part of why the Lakers even turned their season around, because the Lakers got a lot of height too. As far as you got LeBron, you got AD there being able to guard that 5 and 4 position, because both those guys could do that, right? So like
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Vanderbilt, I call them the Luka killers off some jokes, right? But when you look at just their team, you look at, he had like one good game against Luka, so I just like ride with that, because so every time I say that, I just ride with that, right? But like when you just look at his team, you look at how he plays, like, I mean, his career average is not gonna solidify him as one of the best, because you're talking about 20, 10, and 6.6, which you say 7. But I mean, that last, bro, last year, 24.5, 11.8, and 9.8, bro. That's getting it done, man.
That's amazing.
That's getting it done. So it's kind of hard. I get it. I rock with LeBron too. I rock with Kevin Durant too. But if you put Joker on that Suns team, you put Joker on that Lakers team, I think they're better teams, man. The Lakers can be a question mark, but especially the Suns.
Well, now I think the Suns issue is more depth, more than actual star talent. I mean, they needed more depth. They didn't have the depth to last with
the. That's why I say, especially the Suns, because he's the. If you put him on the Suns, right? Him and Chris Paul. I mean, he's a better. I'm not saying he's a going to go down as a better passer than Chris Paul. I think he's a better passer than Chris Paul is right now, and he's a better scorer than Chris Paul.
I give you that.
Those players that can't get their shots, they can get some of their shots now.
But that's what I'm saying. Like with the Suns, I don't think it was the lack of talent; it was the lack of depth more than talent is why they couldn't last.
That's talent, though.
Lack of depth. I'm just saying, like they didn't, like after
KD, they had depth. You just can't play the guys. That's talent.
Ask questions about why they didn't play some of the guys that they had.
Yeah, that's talent.
They couldn't play them.
Yeah, that's talent. I can show you the Suns signed
T.J. Warren. T.J. Warren, all people remember T.J. Warren from the bubble when he dropped 50 twice. He hasn't done anything else since. Yeah. They got Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross hasn't been irrelevant.
He's never played in basketball.
He went from the Raptors and he got buried in Orlando. Like they didn't have anybody because they depleted their roster to get Kevin Durant. Like I get what you said. Like Joker, he's a very great talent. He knows basketball very well, angles, all that. But he also has a great team around him. We gotta stop also thinking he does have a great team around him. Yeah, the Suns did have a great team around their stars. The two best players and the next guy that you had was DeAndre Ayton, who was scared. And after that, what? And Chris Paul was hurt. Like other than that, who you have? Like I can go down list some different. Like
after got Bradley Beal now.
You know what I'm saying? Now but I'm talking about that time. After Joker, you still have Jamal Murray, who's an All Star caliber type guard. You still have KCP, who's won a world championship before. You have Michael Porter Jr., who at one point was the number one player coming out of high school, going into college, coming into the league. He just got hurt.
I agree with you with that.
That's what I'm saying. Like so, if you take off. Like, if you say you put Joker on any other team, it's going to be – they're better without their stars. Now, with the Suns situation, it's just depth. Like, maybe you say put them on – I don't even say, like, if you put them on the Kings, I think the Kings will still be pretty good. Will be feel pretty good this year because De'Aaron Fox ball, Sabonis ball, Collins ball. Like, all their guys started to play, and they're not – and the reason why they lost in the first round is because of the youth. We know that. We know they ran into the world champions from the year before, a dynasty that's been brewing since 2015. So it's like, yeah, those are the different things that ends out when you say, like, if you put Joker on other teams and things like that. Don't get me wrong, Joker right now.
I didn't say all that.
No. That's what you said.
I said that if you put him on, could we talk about KD and LeBron? I said if you swap them out on both teams, I think that they have, I think they do better than what they had. I think that LeBron, let me finish. LeBron missed a lot of time this year, which Joker wouldn't. They wouldn't have been fighting for a play-in seed. They wouldn't have to play a play-in game, right? They wouldn't have to do that, right? You put them on the Suns, like I said, they like the Suns beat the Clippers and then they lost to the Joker. They lost to the Nuggets in what, like 5 games?
Yeah.
6 or 5?
6 games.
6 games? Yeah, right. So you can say that's even, but I just feel like with the Suns, I definitely feel like he would improve them. But like I said, with the Lakers, bro, LeBron wasn't there. Like LeBron got that scoring title, bro. He went on cruise. He had that injury. Yeah, he got the injury. Yeah, I'm not gonna say he wouldn't have been okay.
He was ready to shut it down until they made that run.
I feel you.
But what I'm saying is,
and they did trade their whole roster and they got better. What I'm saying is they probably wouldn't even have to trade their whole roster. They probably wouldn't have had to fight for a play in if they had Joker. Even if they would have, it don't matter if you're talking about the Lakers before the trade or after the trade.
I kind of agree with what Kobe just said. I don't think they would have had to trade that whole roster if Joker started there in place of LeBron, because then don't have to trade Westbrook if you have Joker. Joker could probably play with Westbrook, get out the way, let him do his thing, or create plays for him. So that's a better fit all the way around.
Because the reason why that the Lakers have to play for a play-in spot is because how they started the season. They don't start right, season 2-10. They don't start 2-10. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But
Let me read the stats for you again. Any other time,
LeBron James is not starting 2-10.
Evan,
the team didn't work. Listen, Evan,
I'm agreeing with you. But what I'm telling you is 24.5, 11.8. 9.8. You're not starting the season 2-11 with those stats, bro.
And he shot like 38 to 40% from the 3-point line, and that's big.
And he cooled down towards the end of the season. You're not starting off 2-11 like that, bro.
That's what I'm saying. That's the reason why the Lakers had to change their roster, is because they did start 2-11. That's not going to happen. I don't think next year LeBron James is starting 2-11 next year.
Because the team fits him better.
No, even if you have the same to start the roster from the start of this season, and again, I don't think LeBron James starts 2-11 next year either. Even if you had Westbrook and all those guys, that was just the fact they were trying to figure it out with a brand new coach. And so when that figured out, you're like,
hey, Evan, when you hit something, it makes a loud crack. When your hands hit something, it make a loud crack.
Okay, like I said, if you're talking about beginning of the season, a roster that we already didn't know that didn't fit together. You have a first-year head coach. Yeah, of course you're going to start out bad. That's the only reason why they had to struggle. That was the reason why it looked. That's why it looked so bad. Like I said,
Let me finish.
Like I said, you take away LeBron James off that team and put Joker there. It's going to probably be the same start, because it's not about who's better. Like LeBron James had a great year. He averaged probably 27, 8, and 8. Like, that's not that far from what Joker did. So it's about first-year head coach and Darvin Ham trying to learn this roster that's already – we already know, because the year before, it didn't work with Frank Vogel. That's why Frank Vogel got up out of it. They brought in a new coach with the same roster. We knew this didn't fit. We knew it didn't fit. And so they went out there again and realized, oh, yeah, it really doesn't fit. So now we have to make a change, and that's what they made the change. So saying swapping Joker for LeBron – they don't start 2-11. We don't know because I wasn't trying to down that hill, bro.
I was just, that was like a little tad point.
No, that's fine.
I don't even care if I'm wrong on that part, because that wasn't even what I was really trying to die on. I was not die, but I wasn't really trying to stay on that point. I was just staying on the point that
no problem at all, man.
I think Joker had the best season this year, obviously. I think Joker was definitely the best player this year. And I haven't seen the amount of people that can all like collectively say, no, he's the best player in the NBA since LeBron. That's why I thought.
No, that is fine.
That was the most important thing about this year, was that I think, I mean, you two. So I'm one out of three in the room and on the pod. But just in general, I feel like if you don't see it this year, next year you'll see, man. He's legit, and you look at those next numbers.
Year he put the stamp on it.
And then it's like the numbers I'm reading off. That's coming from a center. That's not coming from like sometimes when you just read the numbers off. You're like, oh, that's a good player, but it's like, no, that's the five. That's the five. That's not the wing. That's
not a guard. It's not a ball dominant guard. It's a five.
What's making Joker so is his passing ability. That's big time. Like you don't. It's not many. I think the highest rated center ever to average like 4 or 5 assists. It was way back in the day. That's what's making Joker so special. Because it's like, but this man's averaging 10 assists as well. He's giving everybody else involved. Like he's doing a lot of other things besides just scoring a rebound. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's what's making Joker outlandishly special. Like over the top. Like the man's averaging triple double at the center position. And we talk about Will Chamberlain's been in this league. We talk about Will Chamberlain, Kareem. All these guys have been in the league. Kim Olajuwon, like all these guys have been in the league. They never got close to triple double.
That's what's up.
Yeah. What made Joker so special too? Like he has that passing ability. But even when teams try to say, okay, we want to take that away, we want to make you a one-on-one scorer in the playoffs, he showed that he was about that too. Yeah. And that's what really like. Put him over the hump because it was like, okay, now when they take away these cutters and all the other back screens and stuff, you got to go get a bucket. You saw time and time again, he got that bucket. And that's what the best players in the league are made of. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And then also Jamal Murray being healthy because two other years, he didn't have Jamal Murray. Like you said, the team shut down his passing. Oh, we shut down your scoring. Who are you going to? Before, you had nobody. Right. Now he has Jamal Murray. Like, all this stuff. Like, don't get me wrong. Joker is special, no doubt. But that Denver Nuggets team finally put it all together. Because I remember on episodes before and previous before, people would be like, man, I don't believe in Denver. I'm not believing in Denver until they actually do it. And they actually did it.
What could make them a dynasty, I think, is if, like, you have Jamal Murray as that number two. If you can get Michael Porter Jr. to be, like, a consistent 2A or 2B or whatever Jamal Murray is, now they become really unstoppable. And I think he's almost there. I think he needs another healthy season, and he'll probably be there.
What? Well, In the finals, he just lost his confidence, and all he was doing was just – But he was doing, he did the intangibles.
But he defended, though. He defended and did all the other stuff. So,
he did all the intangibles that you needed to win a championship, which is great. But I think one of the biggest things they're going to lose is Bruce Brown. Because that was the guy.
Bruce Brown's a heck of a role player, man.
Yeah, like you know what I'm saying? You have to have those guys, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely have to have those guys. So they can find somebody. Hopefully, the guy I think they drafted yesterday in the draft, I think he might can be that guy, but he's more of a shooter. Than actual like playmaker and things like that. That's the only downfall. Like Bruce Brown was making plays for him. He was doing the run after rebounds, you know what I'm saying, hustling. I don't know what this new guy, he's a rookie, he's a shooter more than he is any of that.
Yeah. Bruce Brown definitely was, they struggle to win a championship without Bruce Brown, for sure.
But speaking of that, like I said, congratulations to the Denver Nuggets and winning the NBA Finals. Congratulations to Joker, Jamal Murray, and those guys, and Coach Mike Malone on their win in the NBA Finals. But let's get into this NBA draft a little bit. I know we just had the NBA draft that happened last night, man. How did y'all feel about the draft, man? How did y'all feel about the positioning of your teams? I know both of y'all are actually Lakers fans right now. So I know.
I ain't gonna lie.
You know, like,
all right. Well, I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't a draft guy. The NFL draft is definitely like pull it. Like I'm more interested in NFL draft and NBA draft. To be honest, it's cool. It's cool to see. You know what I'm saying? Where the first maybe 3 or 4 people going, but I ain't gonna lie. Somebody reminded me yesterday at the lottery is the top 14 pick. I ain't gonna lie. It was like top 5. There's such a big drop off between.
Yeah.
Pretty much the top 3 and everybody else. Yeah, so I'm not. I'm definitely not a big draft fan. I think that is.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that is. It's. It can be done behind closed doors sometimes, but I understand the big production of it because you know, to a lot of teams, it's great. I think that for the Spurs, I really like it. They got a guy that can be a generational talent. Me growing up, born in '91, some of my fondest years of watching basketball, the Spurs were a contender. You know, when you talk about the LeBron era, even when you talk about my Lakers era with Shaq and Kobe, I mean, they had their own era, right? I always feel like the Spurs, just those playoff games back when they used to be on NBC and all that stuff, MSNBC or whatever the case may be. Yeah, and, Spurs, like, and back when they used to have, like, the big curtain to cut off the side. I used to love that, you know what I mean? So, like, then the Spurs had that being positioned to get back to being a contender. San Antonio is a beautiful city. You got the Riverwalk. You know what I mean? You got a lot of beautiful different people out there, coaches out there. So, I just putting the city of San Antonio back into some sort of spotlight. That's the reason why. That's the biggest win for me last night, especially me.
Guys, what about you, Chris?
Draft-wise, I think the draft was good as a whole. Like, one of the things I noticed, it seems as if, like, they've really drafted, like, high-character kids into the NBA. You know, they all young, but they all really seem like, you know, some high-character, really good, likable guys. The thing is, it's just, like, we all be fools if we sat here and said we knew everything about these guys as players. So it's like, well, who can really play? You know, outside of those top four or five names, you kind of know who these guys are. You might have seen them on Instagram, but it's not like how it used to be where you really maybe watched a guy for 2 or 3 years and could really evaluate them. A lot of these guys went into one-year situations, did what they could do to, you know, make the NIL dollars, not get injured because they knew they were going to the NBA. They just have the rule that you got to do something for a year before you go. So it's kind of like, you know, I like seeing the highlights of all of these guys, but I'm really interested to see, like, who's going to be able to help the team, you know, right away and who's just going to get buried. Now, it's, the way the game is played, I feel like it's really easy for guys to come in and help teams because it's really just dribble, pass, and shoot now. If you can do those three things, a lot of times you can get on the floor. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, like, which one of these rookies, like, actually has good careers going forward. Obviously, I think the Victor, Brandon Miller, and Scoot, I think we all expect them to be all-stars. So it'll just be interesting to see how far they can take it. But I'm really, you know, the other guys that you don't necessarily hear about leading up until draft night in some cases. I'm really wondering, like, which one of those names is
going to pop. Most definitely, I know my biggest takeaway is Victor. Victor is Victor, pretty much. Like, I'm a Rockets fan, and the picks we got, I'm glad we got him. But my biggest thing was Victor, man, because it's time. Like, he's finally here. Like, it's no more waiting, looking over tapes, seeing clips of him doing amazing stuff over there in the French League. Then the next day, you make some clip where he get abused down low. Like, it's finally here. He finally is in the NBA now. Like, they project him the greatest prospect ever. And I understand when they get it, you know what I'm saying, numbers-wise, 8 foot wingspan, 7'5", can shoot, dribble, all the attainments that you need to be shoot, dribble, pass, like you were saying, Chris. And he's finally here. So now it's Summer League is on the way. So hopefully we'll maybe get a glimpse of him in Summer League, but I'm still not going to read too much into it because it's Summer League. Half the guys are trying. Yeah, like, oh, not even that. It's just if he even plays, like his first organization. Like, we watched Chet Holmgren, the number 3 pick last year, or 22 draft, get hurt, and he ain't played no more at all. So it's just like, well, they're going to really take that risk. But I'm just saying, I'm just happy. It was a great event. Like I said, a great event for the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Victor Wembanyama, he's here. He's number 1 pick. Let's play it. Let's see what the Spurs can do on that. But I know, Chris, you had touched on NIL. And I know Kobe wanted to get in, you know what I'm saying, some NIL talk. You know,
yeah, man. First, how y'all feel about the NIL, dude? Let me see what y'all opinions are on.
You go first, Chris, on this one.
NIL, I love it. Obviously, no system is perfect, but I think it's good that young kids can make money off of their craft, man. They spend a lot of hours that they it's not easy to get a scholarship, number one. It's definitely not easy to be one of the best in the country. So if you're able to achieve that coming out of high school, that should be rewarded. Now, I don't like the fact that it controls recruiting now, but at the same time, you know, when you introduce something new, obviously it's going to disrupt something else. And that's just kind of the trade-off in the situation. But overall, that kid that, you know, has been working his butt off, and ain't had nothing coming up. Now, you know, he can sign and get $100,000 out of high school. That means something. That's good for him. So I appreciate the fact that it's able to help some change lives, like, despite the negative stuff. That it's a trade-off.
Yeah, me with that idea, I like it. I like, you like the fact that they are allowed to, you know what I'm saying, get money off their name and likeness, man. Like, literally, I can sign something, get paid for it, because it's my name. Like, I was born with this name. I've done whatever I need to do to be in a position, even to be signing autographs or being endorsed or endorsing a company or anything like that. But the only downfall I have about it is just the levels, man, the levels, because that is what really is kind of, you know what I'm saying, kind of hurting college sports is the levels. Because it's like, you got kids who go to one school, they promise them $1 million. Then this other school, the only way to get them, well, I'll give you $1.5 million. I'll give you $2 million. And it's like, now it's just back and forth. And what a lot of people don't know about the NIL deal, a lot of these kids are banking on their parents to make these decisions more than them making these decisions. Like, and so with their parents, all their parents is thinking is the dollar sign, not thinking about the kid's future. Sometimes they might just say, well, what team can give me the most money? I don't care. Maybe not even the best fit for my child. Like, it may be a kid coming from one part of the world and it goes to a whole other one just because this man gave you that much money. Now he's culture shock, can't even perform. Then coaches look at him like, well, you're not the guy that I thought I was getting. Cut you, leave you on that. And that's where I feel like the bad side of NIL. But other than that, I love it. The fact that these kids can get money off their name started in high school.
Yeah. Now, with that, I definitely think that, you know, those kids being able to get bread and get that paper and get some type of financial reward off of their hard work they put in. You know, name, image, and likeness is all based off your hard work, because we all got name, image, and a likeness, but if somebody wouldn't pay for, right? So I think the finesse job is to me is that the NCAA never cut the check. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they said, all right, you guys can get paid, but somebody else can pay you. They never actually cut the check. And, you know, you had Les Miles, I think Les Miles and Nick Saban, they went to White House this week. And basically thinking, you know, NIL needs some regulations. That's how they feel. I really don't have too much of an opinion on that part because I haven't did too much research, but I feel like they need some regulations. What I do feel like, I feel like you have those powerhouses like Alabama and LSU who won football consistently. Without the NIL, I think they're more like, all right, we want regulation, because what that does is, this is the thing, every school that's good, that's not good in football, it's not like they don't have money, right? Like, you look at Texas A&M and Texas, they both may have more money than LSU, right? They both can possibly start getting that same recognition as far as performance-wise on the field that LSU has now that they have the bread, right? Even though within recent years, they haven't been as consistent as LSU. So if you're a coach, right, you kind of want to stop that. And then they were like, you know, California has a different thing that they're trying to propose. California is trying to propose that the actual revenue from the football team breaks down into to the students, right? Right. Well, you have an issue with that because what people don't realize is that college football pays for a lot of other sports. Like, I don't know if people realize that, but the softball team don't make a lot of money. The baseball team doesn't make a lot of money. The lacrosse team doesn't make a lot of money. The swim team doesn't make a lot of money, right? Those other teams, those other sports in your university, they really don't bring in a profit, right? All of that's really tied into the actual football team. The football team is bringing in all this money and it's spreading it out to where, you know, it goes to these other sports. So it's kind of like what I realized is that doing my research is that you got this thing where it's like, all right, if you do want the schools and you do want the NCAA to start paying the football players, then what that's going to do is they're going to cut sports in other areas. Your school may have a good football team, but they may not have a softball team. They may not have a girls basketball team. They may have a lacrosse team or a cross country team, right? So my thing is for y'all, what do y'all think is more important? That the players that play football, them getting paid and them getting their money, or keeping sports in college? Because I think that what we're going to realize is once you starting to break down, you having to start pay the players out of the pocket of the revenue of the team, how do you still have those other sports that don't bring you any money? And the only reason why you have them open is because of the extra money you do get from the football.
Well, I know with that, when you say, like, that's the job of the universities to keep the other sports as well. Because don't like don't get me like you said, like you are correct with the football team bringing in a lot of money, billions of dollars for this university. But this university also brings in millions and billions of dollars as well from.
I'm out. Question. I'm saying, would you rather the kids get paid their money and risk of other sports, or would you rather keep the NIL deal where the people outside, the boosters, can pay, but make sure that the revenue from the football team is circulated to other sports? Not let's pay the players, but they got to figure it out. I'm saying, obviously, you probably gonna be in a world where you can't have both. It's not all of it to go around. So that's
why. I think you can though, because the reason I say you have both, because not only like you said, pay the players and don't worry about the football team money going into the other sports or whatever. That's what the university is for. Like universities ain't getting shabbed off of checks either. They're getting millions of dollars and billions of dollars as well from endorsements of their actual endorsement of maybe the whatever deal they have, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour. They may get money from boosters, alumni, from other projects. Like they're still getting money as well, the university, so they can use that money to help make sure, like you said, don't end a girls lacrosse, women's lacrosse team, or a woman's golf team, or a men's golf team, or a swim team, something like that, because they also have money they're getting as well, as long as the football program. And so all of that money is enough money to go around to make sure no sports get cut. And that's just me and mine. That's how I feel on that.
How you know it's enough money for it to all go around?
Because besides athletes, they still have regular students that go to school there that pay tuition. You still have regular boosters who don't even worry about athletics who give money. They still have other people that give money to the school besides athletics.
But I'm pretty sure. So
they got huge endowments. So there's money already there that they're not even using. So they technically, at this point, 2023, ain't no major college in risk of running out of money. They've made too much over the years. And this is new, but they're continuing to make money on top of it, while not spending the money they already have. So, I mean, I think they'll be able, I don't think it should be like on the athlete's conscience to have to worry about like, hey, can the school keep other programs and stuff open? I mean, they did it when they weren't getting paid, so they should be able to do it when they are getting paid. I kind of agree with Evan, like that's a job. I mean, figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
Because even still, the athlete isn't taking that much money out of the pockets that they are in risk of not being able to fund these programs. Because it's only like, what? All right, I think LeBron James' son is like at $8 million NIL worth. That's one kid. Everybody else, your average star at a college that's not the number one team in the nation might make six figures if you're lucky. Maybe a mill or two, but he's not out here making Russell Westbrook type money, you know, in college. He's making life-changing money from him because he's 17, he's 18, but he's not making so much money, and there's not so many of them that everybody's at risk, because everybody ain't getting that NIL that's in college. It's only the those that are marketable and deserving, honestly.
I wouldn't say deserving. More just the ones that's just famous, like you said, marketable. That's out there. It's only because I feel like all the athletes are deserving to get NIL money.
That's fair.
And it's like just a kid that he just not he may not be on social media.
You say all athletes are deserving.
Yeah, all athletes are deserving.
You like feel you like, said, they, you like high school athletes should get paid too.
They do though.
Is it NIL money or revenue money?
NIL money. Well, NIL it goes into the neighbors like everybody is deserving of making NIL money. But like we all know, we're not living in the perfect world. Everyone's not getting it. But saying that everyone deserves it. But it's just like the ones that are famous. Like we can take an example right now. USC's basketball program. We all know LeBron James Jr. is going there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not even the best player in their class, and he's getting more shine than the best player in their class.
The best player in class, yeah.
And it has nothing to do with talent wise. We already know why. Bronny is getting
right. LeBron's son. It's also like, you know, there's no real level playing field with NIL because it's based on marketability. But all players should get paid in college simply because, like, playing a college sport and, like, committing to a scholarship is a job within itself. Yes, they do give you a free education, but you earn it. you should be compensated for anything that you generate revenue for. And college athletes generate revenue. So the NIL is a good start, but honestly, there should be more. There should be more. Because so, the NIL only really benefits like the top level. It doesn't necessarily benefit the guy, the fifth year senior that, you know, he's an engineering major, but he's using his football scholarship to go to school for free. But, you know, he's at practice every day, he's working out, he's helping generate money for the school, but the NIL doesn't even know who he is, and I give him anything. You know? So
just so I can get your answers. So y'all would rather, because like I said, when we talk about they have enough money to do both, even if they have enough money to do both, that don't mean they're going to do it, right? They can sit there.
Well, that's true.
Want a profit over what y'all talking about, right? So I'm saying, would y'all rather the players get paid, but there is no lacrosse team, there is no cross country team, there is no softball team, but it does make the players who play football more happy? Or would y'all rather, you know, the sports world will be more diverse in the type of sports that you do see, and the players really bank off of NIL.
Meaning like they highlight more college sports on like a larger scale, is that what you're saying?
Say it again.
Are you saying like we'd rather like highlight other college sports like on
I'm just saying like if they don't make a profit and you have to start paying the players. Mm-hmm. It's easy for the university to say, well, we don't need a lacrosse team. We don't need a cross-country team. We don't care about it. We'd rather pay them and then make sure we still have our money that we have on the side, because ultimately what's important is that this university stays open. It's not important that Jimmy Joe gets paid because he played football in middle school and high school. The ultimate purpose is to make sure his university stays open. And I also – I know you guys said something, but I also think that – I don't think that the revenue from the academics and the revenue they get from athletics, it mixes. I think that on a high level, you have to separate those. So the money that you get from tuition, all the other stuff, that's not going to necessarily pay for the football players. That may pay for the stadium, right? Because they want a nice stadium to go to, but that's not going to pay for the football players.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like with the question you're asking, it will never get to a point where they're cutting other programs. Other sports because they're paying only football players. That's what I'm saying. Like,
why would you feel that way when you've seen their sports teams that have gotten cut? I mean, I think Grambling University was on the brink of cutting down this the football program. Why would you say that? Because I think that I've definitely seen in recent years plenty of sports programs get shut down.
Yeah, the situation with Grambling, that was because of poor upkeep. Like their facilities were below like livable. That's what I'm saying. When we're talking about money. The question you're asking, because you're saying like pay football players and possibly have lacrosse and stuff like in those major sports like the Power Five conferences, other sports are not going to be cut because the football team is making whatever they're paying their players. And then even if that we won't get to that, and even if that does happen, hypothetically, the question you're asking. That's what we're saying. The school has enough money itself to make sure that those other sports programs do not shut down or get cut off because they still have funding from the school. That's what we're saying. To answer your question,
I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. If it's a bad business model, they're gonna shut it down. They're not gonna sit there and say, you know, we love the sport, we love these players, bro. If it's a bad business model, we gotta shut it down.
Yeah, but I was saying, like all the sports you just named, they have professional sports. Like there's professional levels to those sports, so they want to try to keep those sports, you know what I'm saying, afloat.
Yeah, didn't everybody go to Lamar?
Yeah.
And then Lamar restarted their football team back in 2010, bro. Sometimes, bro, we ain't got a full football team. Like sometimes this is what it is. You'll never see that with Alabama. You'll never see that with LSU. You never see that with a Longhorns, a UT, right? But bro, some of these schools, bro, like, hey, we gotta close up shop right now. Like right now, athletic departments are doing real good. Y'all can celebrate homecoming during basketball season.
But at the same time, though, like Lamar ain't rewarding out huge NIL deals. They don't have those players.
That's what I'm saying. We saying the same thing.
They don't. If they had them type of players, like you know, then I, if Bronny was trying to go to Lamar, then I maybe we have something to talk about. But like, they don't.
We talking about, but we talking about schools that may not have an NIL deal, a bunch of players with NIL deals that want to pay their players the revenue. That's what we talking about. We talking about now we got to break the church money up and spend with the students.
So how much, I guess if that's the case, I guess we just got to determine, like, one, how much money we got, how much are we willing to pay the players that's fair to where we can still turn the profit and keep everything open. And in that case, like, I think that could be figured out, you know, if that conversation had to be had.
I respect it.
Well, now let's say, like we got to stop acting like the schools don't have money. The school itself has money.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars.
Hey, bro. I believe they do got money, bro, but I think that some of these schools may not run deep like y'all think they do. I'm just being honest with you.
If you're running a university, like in 2023, you've probably been open at least. I'm talking about all schools, like
y'all thinking about the big schools.
Do you realize how long those schools have been open?
But what you got to realize is they're still going to follow a business model that's going to keep the lights on. They're not going to follow a business model that's going to keep the football program. That's what I'm saying. The bottom line is the academic part. It's not the athletic part.
We get that. Like I said, you're saying, you thinking just because the SFA, they may get NIL, if they get NIL deals and whatever the football team is generating, they're going to go ahead and, I guess you would say, give all their money to them and they're going to let the other programs suffer. No, the school has money to where the other programs don't have to suffer.
Bro, before I go, because I got to go, but I'm just reading the article.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see real quick. Dang, yo, ESPN, bro, as much money ESPN got, bro. They app will crash on y'all. Was just reading the article. Now it wants to jump me off. All right, let me go back to this article. All right, here we go. But it was this is what I really was reading, and I really got this down. Let me see where it says talk about other sports. A handful of bills, including the college sports. That's not what I want to read. I lost where I was at because the ESPN app decided to like take me off. What the fuck I was reading? My bad. Excuse my French. But we can talk about this on a later date, though. I think it's a good conversation, though. Yeah. You know, what's important, paying athletes who play football or making sure we got all college sports? I understand we think that these colleges have a whole bunch of money, and they do got a whole bunch of money, right? But that don't mean they're going to spend it. You know what I'm saying? They don't mean that they're going to – put like this. And this is what I'm going to leave before I go. Just how the NCAA never paid all these athletes for all their hard work. You had athletes that were great college players, and they went to the NFL and they crashed, they burned, whatever the case may be, and they really didn't really get to make a lot of money playing their sport. They didn't do the right thing then. We can't expect them to do the right thing when we talk about right now. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
Hey.
But man, it was a pleasure to sit down with you boys. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. Kobe Cole, y'all can follow me on Twitter, the Kobe. I gotta head out. I got something I gotta take care of, but I will see you guys next week. All right.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Cole.
All right, man. You have a good one.
All right, bro.
Yeah, man. Like I said, NIL, like we was talking NIL deals, I guess to go on what Kobe was trying to say, I just don't see, even in smaller colleges, most of these colleges have quite a bit of money wrapped in. Even if you look at like a PV, like they're in the Texas A&M system, even down here, I know we went to Lamar. Lamar's in, the Texas State system. So that's money that's still going to be going in and out to. Like I said, I get the kind of point where you're saying that they're going to stay open. They're not going to, if this sport is not profiting, yes, we'll eventually let it go. But I just don't see it not profiting of all the sports he was talking about on top of the major colleges. They have the money too as well.
Yeah, I understand the hypothetical, but it's really hard to see everything playing out that way because this has been going on for so long. You know, universities been open for so long, they have structures in place, and any alterations that come into that structure, they usually have plans to take care of those problems. So there's enough money to go around for everybody.
Yeah, I believe it is enough money to go around for everybody, most definitely. But man, let's get back into the NBA. I know, man, we had some big trades, quite a few big trades already go on in the NBA, man. I the biggest one I do want to start off with is Chris Paul is now in Oakland, well, San Francisco, whatever you want to call it, the Bay Area.
Right.
Like, that's, to me, is just sitting back.
Wow.
Like, when I first got that look, I said, nah, that can't be right. That's not what's going to happen. All I can go back is 2017 to 2019. That's all I can think of.
Yeah.
Even Chris Paul himself said it. All it was, you go through the regular season for one team. That's all we was playing for, to face one team. And now he is on that one team.
On that team.
Yeah. What was your reaction when you first heard that, man?
It was kind of like a WTF, like, wow moment. Because it still doesn't make 100% sense. Because it's like, bro, what is y'all plan? What y'all doing? Like, Steph going to be off the ball 100%. CP3 coming off the bench. Y'all bringing Draymond back. What's going on? Like, it's so many questions. Like, what are y'all trying to do with this team? Bob Myers is gone, so Mike Dunleavy running the show now. And it's just like, literally, like, what the heck is going on? That was my reaction.
Okay. And I think that's what it is. See, with that question, you said basketball sense, it makes perfect sense. But the fact that it's Chris Paul, that's where it doesn't make sense to me. Because it's like, we have clips where Steve Kerr and Chris Paul are on the court, you know what I'm saying? Chris Paul, he changes his face. It's like, that to me, that's the literal, like you said, WTF, like, you accepted this? Like, they came to you, like, even like, what?
I will say this. This did make me laugh, though. The fact that Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma are going to be on the same basketball team and they have a ring. Oh, my gosh. I see a clown show happening. Like, they have money. They have a ring. They're on the same team. And they're the best two players. It is about to be a clown show. But I'm here for every minute. So I did have that reaction, too.
Oh yeah, that is gonna be funny. That will be funny. You just realize, yes, Jordan Poole,
the two best players on the Wizards, and they're gonna let them do whatever they
want
to do.
Whatever they want, man. I think Jordan Poole gonna average 25 points.
He probably will.
He averaged 20, and he was barely getting shots. Wait till him and Kuzma go out there. They both get 25 shots apiece.
They about to play that freest basketball in their lives. Can't guarantee that they're going to win much, but
that wasn't the thing, bro. Outside of Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Poole, you can't name any other person on their roster.
I really can't. They got Denny Avdija. I know he's still there.
He is? Oh, wow. He was playing with LeBron in Cleveland?
Nah, the kid that they drafted 2 years ago, that number three. I'm supposed to be good.
There you go. Hey. Yeah. That's how much I know about the Wizards and their roster after they did their rebuild. Like, man, Chris Paul is going to that to me is just like, man, like, basketball season makes sense. Like you said, Steph Curry now can officially be off the ball. I don't know what they're doing with Draymond. I just got to report Draymond possibly he wants $100 million. So I don't know what that's gonna
entail. You can want what you want.
Like I said, we had this debate about Draymond. Like, don't get me wrong, Draymond is an NBA player. I'm not gonna say he sucks, but the triple C, like, when it comes down to, like, on the court with the rest of the guys in the NBA, $100 million, Dray.
He's just trying to get his farewell contract, man.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I do not blame him not one bit.
Is he worth it? That's another argument for a different day, I guess. I don't know, honestly.
He's worth it to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. I wouldn't pay it if I was anybody else. But then that presents a problem, because if you're anybody else, you're going to have to. And you've seen teams got to spend their money.
Yeah.
Everybody's not going to get a Kyrie advance. We got to spend your money. So if you got $30 million in cap room, don't nobody else want to come, but you can get to Draymond.
Hey man, I kind of feel like Big Perk, man. Shout out to Kenny Perkins, man. He said Draymond going to the Lakers, man.
I could see that. Draymond loves LeBron. Draymond would love to play with LeBron. So LeBron.
In that situation, Lakers have to make a decision between Draymond Green or AR.
I would go with Austin Reeves, but you know LeBron loves his vets. So what do you think LeBron's gonna do?
He's gonna go with AR because he actually just played with AR. He just got to the Western Conference Finals with AR.
And he does.
Don't get me wrong, Bron is a
I think if Draymond came to LA, that would probably be the only team he would take a pay cut to play for. He'd probably take a pay cut to play for.
And that's what he has, and that's what he'll have to do. Man, it'll be a great move. But $100 million gotta go to AR. He's gonna have to go to AR.
It would be a great move. It'd be like the worst floor space team ever.
With Draymond?
Basketball, yes. The front court of Draymond, AD, and LeBron.
But no, but not now. Let AD go to the
floor. I don't know.
Y'all have a better defense in the front line in your front court.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, hey, I want to defense in basketball. For sure.
Like you got two guys that can roam, and then you got AD that can literally. He's long, so he definitely. You saw what he did in the Western Conference Finals. Like he's playing defense as a free safety. He's playing a defense, playing his ass off.
That front court would give the Nuggets some challenges.
Yeah,
that would get some Nuggets because you got a help defender that can come off and help on Joker and still recover and get back out to the perimeter. So it'd be interesting if it happened. But honestly, I think the Lakers kind of should just stay put.
Gotcha.
Maybe bring in, I would love, if they brought in anybody that's a free agent, I would love for them to bring in Chris Middleton. I don't think there's a way that they can, but that would be a great addition for them with Chris Middleton.
I really think you guys need a point guard, to be honest with me. That's just a point guard.
I think D'Angelo Russell, man, maybe this is a risk, but I'm willing to give him a full season because I know if I can get consistency out of him, my point guard problem is solved. The problem is he's just been inconsistent his whole career. But if we can get him consistent, you know, run a whole season with Bron and AD and Reeves and those guys and improve on what you were not able to do in the playoffs this past year, that may be the point guard, you know?
Make who the point guard?
No, I said that may be the point guard.
I think D'Lo should. I thought you was going with D'Lo on that one, to be honest with you. Like D'Lo, he was very inconsistent, but I know he's a walking. He can get you 20 points easily. It's just what he's going
to
do.
That's what I said. I would keep him and see what he's able to add. I mean, obviously he didn't have the best Western Conference Finals for sure. He became a point where he was unplayable. He didn't. Yeah. He got taken out the rotation, but that doesn't mean that. Like, that's the end of D'Angelo Russell. I think he can bounce back from that. That was also his first time really playing, like, super high-level playoff basketball in his career. Because he made the playoffs when he was on the Nets before he got traded. But, I mean, that Nets team was just young, having fun. They made the playoffs. This is the first time in his career where, hey, we're chasing the championship and something is required of him. So, I mean, it's been a lot of guys that didn't do well initially and they were able to bounce back and be consistent playoff performers. Like Kyle Lowry, he used to always have troubles in the playoffs and now he got over the hump. So,
well, Kawhi got him over the hump. I really hate people's evaluation of the 2019 NBA Finals. Like, Kawhi Leonard was the number one. And Siakam was actually the number two. And Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, all those guys were just there. And they won.
But even in Miami, like obviously his role ain't the same, but like he's shown that he can consistently play good in the playoffs. You know? And it used to be a point where like, boy, when Kyle Lowry would get to the playoffs, he'd forget who he was.
But it's also one of those roles. When those times, he was asked to be the point guard, the point guard.
Facts.
Now he's – and when he won a championship, he wasn't asked to be the point guard or the guy. He was just supposed to be a guy. And then in Miami, you just come to bring veteran because you had the championship. We in 2019, but Jimmy Butler and then the other guys undrafted were the ones that actually were the guys. You don't get me wrong, Kyle Lowry did his thing. I don't want to disrespect Kyle Lowry. I know I got some Heat fans that might listen to this. Right. Shout out to Coop. He gonna say Kyle Lowry did. Don't get me wrong, Kyle Lowry did what he had to do to be an adventurous. Yeah. So I'm not trying to take it over, but it's just like I get why he had those troubles beginning. And D'Lo, maybe that could be D'Lo later, but are y'all willing to pay D'Lo the price in that for what this possibility of inconsistency is?
So I'll say this, as a fan of the Lakers, I would say I'm willing to pay D'Lo so we don't have to lose anyone else. I don't really want to lose any pieces from this team to go get try to go get somebody else that you may end up swinging and missing. And now you're in the situation where you started last year with the last 2 years with unfamiliarity where this team works, this team is good, and they haven't even had a full season together, you know? So I think that letting them build on that starting five with D'Lo, Reeves, Bron, Vando, and AD, that's a good nucleus. I don't think there's any reason to change that up, you know?
Oh, well, money is the reason for that, though. That's the only reason why. Because you can't pay D'Lo and you can't pay Reed, both of them. So you got to pick. So you take the lesser of the guy and then you try to go get somebody to fill in that spot. But with that saying, that lineup you said and the team that they have now, I really I don't want Laker fans to go over the top. Like, don't get me wrong, they did make their run to the Western Conference Finals. But that was, like you said, it was a run. Like, they got it late trade. Like, after the trade deadline, all of that, they maybe played, 13 games, 14 games together in the regular season. And then it was the playoffs. So you're looking at, like, a Linsanity 25-game run. So, like, a lot of people want to say that roster was great. Yeah, it was great for that time of the season. Like, that season. This year, now we got to look into, like you said, a full season. Vanderbilt, we know, can't shoot. Malik Beasley, we've been inconsistent. D'Lo inconsistent. Like, these are guys that still haven't shown. That's part of the all. And Austin Reeves balled out of his mind. Don't get me wrong. Austin Reeves can play, but I don't see him 17, 18 a game a night. So if you're not getting that.
At the end of the day, which is the biggest inconsistency and uncertainty is AD's health. But if he's healthy, if you knew in advance, like we were fast forward a year and we knew Anthony Davis was healthy enough to play 70 games and make a playoff run, you probably have positive things to say about the Lakers. And that's really what it all boils down to. Like, is AD going to be healthy? I'm not saying it's going to be a guaranteed championship if he is, but the only chance they're trying to duplicate and build on like what they did this year, it all starts with, is he going to be healthy? Because the stars, Jokers, Giannis's, the Embiid's, all those star big men, what is the reason that their dominance is paying off? Because they're out on the floor playing basketball. You know what I'm saying? And if Anthony Davis can do that, then I think his team will benefit in the win column from that.
Oh, well, no, that's most – no, me saying what I'm saying is based off AD and LeBron being healthy. Your A and B, that is basically off them being healthy. But like outside of those health, because like we know 82 games is a long time, and then the playoffs is a different animal. Like you said, this year AD was very roller coasters. Very roller coasters. And he was healthy. No, he was healthy in the playoffs. But
playoff time, he was cool. But he
didn't know. I'm talking about the playoffs.
In the playoffs, he was inconsistent.
Yeah, he was up and down. And he was healthy. And that's why everybody else shines so much. I just don't see Vanderbilt getting a jump shot out of nowhere. I think Ryu was more pissed off of being traded from Washington. Like, pretty much just giving up, like, yeah, man, you, we don't need you no more. Because he got traded for, like, 5 second-rounders or something, or 4 second-rounders?
Yeah,
he got him out of there. So he's playing pissed off. Don't get me wrong, Ryu's a good guy, but I don't think he's going to play to that level. If he gets close to that level, that's not bad. But other than that, outside of that, like, the reconstruction of their roster was good for this season. Next season, I just don't see it. I don't.
Are you saying next year, like, you don't see them getting to the Western Conference Finals, or next year?
I don't see that roster that they have right now getting to the Western Conference Finals.
Do you see it being a playoff roster?
Yeah, that'll be a playoff roster, yes. Like if LeBron had that roster to start the season, yeah, they would have competed for a 4 seed.
I think like today's day and age basketball, which is one of the good things I like about the NBA now, is you're right from this perspective. Like I can't see them being a Western Conference finalist next year because there's so much other talent in the West that you're gonna have to deal with. So it's hard to just say like, hey, I'll bring all of these guys back, the league do what the league do, and y'all gonna make it because it's too much talent on the, yeah, the West now and starting to be in the league in general. So it's like, no, I can't guarantee that they're gonna be in the Western Conference Finals again because they got hot, they had some things go their way. But I would say if they could bring the squad back, you can get into the playoffs. And I think that's outside of like, I mean, honestly, all the teams. I think now you're just really trying to play for like, let's get into the playoffs and let's see, you know, once we hit the reset button. Because you know how during that stretch where it was like Golden State and Cleveland, you already knew it going into the offseason, going into regular season, you knew who was going to the finals. Like, they might make it interesting, but you genuinely knew it was going to be LeBron versus KD and stuff all the time. You know, now you can't call it a year in advance anymore. So that's good because it's like, all right, yeah, the Lakers have a decent team, but so do the Grizzlies, so do the Nuggets, so do the Clippers, so do the Suns. So we really got to see everything. And actually, even with this Warriors move, like this Warriors move keeps them competitive, but would you say that moves them to the top of, like, would you say that move alone could guarantee them a spot in the Western Conference Finals?
Basketball wise, yes, because now you got probably one of the greatest passers in our era we've seen in basketball playing point guard for one of the greatest shooter of all time. The guy, like, we know what made Steph Curry so much. Like, he had a guy playing point for him. He can run off and do whatever he needs to do. Now you have a guy who thrives in passing and can get a bucket in the mid range if you need it. Draymond, you know, like you said, don't get me wrong, Draymond is valuable for the Golden State Warriors. If they bring him back, now you're talking about, yeah, now that's even more fine. But if they don't bring Draymond back, well, now you got to upgrade in Draymond with a guy who can actually score the basketball in the mid-range. You don't have to, or he can hit a three-point if he needs to. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time when people guard Draymond for pick and roll or something, they let Draymond shoot the ball. They call it backpack. Because even if he shoots the ball, he's going to miss pretty much. Now, Chris Paul, you can't do that with Chris Paul. Like, you leave him open, he's going to hit that jump. You're going to be like, oh, wow. And that's why I feel it does help them out. A lot of people don't see it because they always thinking about it's Draymond. And it's like, now Steph can actually be off ball. Like, literally be off ball. Go back to the shooting guard position like he normally. That's what his natural position is. But, like, going back to, like, when you're saying, like, you know, someone go to state with their run, like, you knew they were going to be in the finals, but the West – It's still the West. Like, it's going to be a dogfight. In the East, it never was a dogfight for LeBron James. Like, the toughest I think he had, because we all know he owned the Raptors. So it was like, if he played the Raptors, like, that's easier series win. He ain't losing to them. And I think at that time, the Celtics were on their back end of their big three. And I think Miami was still trying to figure out what just doing. Like, so... Like, LeBron didn't have that challenge in the East when you go back to that time and that the Warriors might have had. But the Warriors also caught breaks. Let's not get it twisted. So the Warriors were on a run where they had all starting point guards got hurt and they went to the finals. This year, like the Lakers, they caught the first round they played the Grizzlies. Ja Morant misses with 2-3 games in that series. Hey, that's all you need for a Hall of Famer.
I actually picked the Grizzlies to win that series.
Yeah, and everybody did because, yeah, but ain't nobody expecting John to get hurt. But we know John's situation, what he had going on during the season. We know he doesn't want to take care of everybody when he jumps. Got hurt. As when you're a guy that's like LeBron James is trying to win a championship, that's all you worried about, that's your chance. That's your way to kill. Did that. Yep. Next round, he went against the Warriors. The Warriors didn't want it. The Warriors want to play perimeter. You fine, play perimeter. But outside of Steph, who's shooting the basketball? Well, he knows that weakness. LeBron found that weakness. Darvin Ham found that weakness. Excellent. Next round, they went to a more complete team. a complete team of the Denver Nuggets, we get swept. Because more complete team. Like I say, like y'all could, like you said, y'all changed the roster in LA and y'all got a lot of good things on the way. And it's nothing wrong. That's part of playoff basketball. Like, you gotta play with what you got, man. And like, I'm thinking a lot of people are seeing what the Heat did, because they did the same thing similar to in the bubble. It wasn't as bad. It wasn't a playing team in the bubble. But they did that way, they navigated their way as an underdog and got their way to find the same thing. Like, so a lot of people feel like, oh man, would you get in there, you get a chance, and it's like eventually you have to start going back to, do you have the team? Do you have the roster to compete to make this run? And like I said before, I don't see this roster that they have making it back to the Western Conference Finals. They're a playoff team, most definitely. But that's not what LeBron James is playing for. He's playing for championships. So if he doesn't have a roster to compete up for a championship, like,
yes. I mean, like I said, I hear you. It's hard to 100% disagree. My only pushback is just like, if you give me the same roster and tell me for sure AD gonna be healthy in the regular season, you know, not gonna get nicked up. That's all. That's very rare that that's gonna happen though. But if that, I don't think that's ever happened in his career. But if it is able to happen, then okay, I feel confident about this roster being able to do anything because I got Anthony Davis and a healthy Anthony Davis. Still a top three, top four big man in the NBA, you know, and good things can come from that. So that's all I was saying there. You know, if it's the same inconsistencies, then I don't think they can duplicate their success because they caught a lot of breaks. But if AD is going to be healthy, if LeBron is going to be healthy and we can improve everything, then, you know, sky's the limit, you know.
Okay. Man, that's fair enough. I can take that. So let's get to the other big trade that happened in this NBA play, or NBA offseason. Bradley Beal going to the Phoenix Suns, man. Beal going to the Phoenix Suns. This is another thing. This is bad because the main reason why the Phoenix Suns didn't last this postseason is because of depth. And they gave up.
Depleted all of it.
Picks too. Like, they don't have control of their picks, I think, to 2031.
That's wild.
And they have nobody on the roster. They have
2031. I'd be in my 40s.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that even.
No, sir. I'm good.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, then on top of that, you have nobody on your roster. You have your five stars. You have your Bradley Beal, Booker, Durant, Aiden, and I think Jokic.
He's not signed. They said he was on the roster. I thought he was signed.
No, he's on the roster, but I'm talking about as far as signed, like players that you know that are signed, I want to say.
I thought he was under contract still. He might not be though.
Well, I thought he might be, but if he is, so campaign, those are five guys.
But it's campaign, even whether he's there or not, it's campaign. You know exactly what that is. Out of the league at one point, man. Let's be real here. It's Cameron Payne.
Yeah, this is true. Cameron Payne.
He don't feel like he Mario Chalmers playing with them guys, man.
At least Mario Chalmers got him a couple rings, man. He did something
in college that we'll all remember him for.
That's true.
Can't we remember Cameron Payne for dancing with Russell Westbrook before he was out of the league? That's what I remember him from.
Yeah, that was Cameron Payne. That was definitely Cameron Payne. But then like so with that man, I feel they're gonna trade DeAndre Ayton. I think DeAndre Ayton's gonna be on the move.
I think that he should get traded. I want him to be in a situation where I think he wants to be, where it's like focused on him, where he gets to have a bigger role and really see what he's able to do in this league. Because, I mean, he's not a terrible player. He could be a lot better. And I think people want to see more from him. But I also think it's hard to be the player that maybe he envisions for himself at his age while playing with what he's playing with and with them trying to do what they're trying to do. They're not just trying to win basketball games. They're trying to win a championship. So that means you may not be able to be the DeAndre Ayton that you think you are. You don't have to be the DeAndre Ayton that we need you to be. I kind of rather see him, you know, in a different situation. And it might be good for both sides because he could probably get you two or three players, you know, back in return, some role players that can actually help the team out. You know, exactly. You don't need a star. You got your stars. You don't need any more stars.
Oh, no, no more. Kevin Durant, no more stars.
You don't need no more stars.
Stars scoring by him is none of that. You don't need none of that.
But, you know, you get you a guy that's committed to protecting the rim and maybe some bench depth, a couple 3-and-D guys. Yeah, DeAndre Ayton can get you that. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with him. I know Clint Capella is on the trading block. Honestly, that would be a good move for both sides if you sent Capella to Phoenix and maybe let DeAndre Ayton play with Trae Young and Murray. That might be good for him.
Yeah, but I'm gonna need more. I'm gonna need more than just Clint Capella back. I'm gonna need some.
That's what I'm saying. So then maybe you can get some role players in addition to that. That may be a filler out there. I'm not gonna lie to you. My favorite trade that has happened though was sending Porzingis to Boston. I love it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get into that. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I think that what has kept Boston from being able to get over that hump is when Tatum and Brown go cold. There's nobody there's no true ball handler to really facilitate things because we love Marcus Smart, but that wasn't him. And then we also have nobody to throw it down low to slow the game down and be able to get easier baskets. And I think one, Brogdon running the point guard as a starter, that gives you a better floor general. And then two, having Porzingis down low, that gives you something that they haven't had, and that could be interesting.
Yeah, see, and I'm telling you another point. The reason why I think that young duo of Tatum and Brown didn't work, it's more of, like you said, if Tatum goes cold, and when Tatum is cold, Jaylen Brown wants to take over. And then when Jaylen Brown takes over and then Tatum finds his shot back, Brown's not ready to relinquish that back up. And he feels, I could do the same thing. Like Jaylen Brown, like, you are a great, outstanding player, but you're not the star of this team. Right. And you can't dribble.
and then when you add to the fact that they don't have a point guard, it's going to be like, hey, Wing, exactly.
Corner.
I got it.
Exactly, Marcus Smart will come in and be like, "Well, I'm not doing that." And if y'all can't decide out.
Hey, Marcus Smart will take the shot himself.
Exactly. I'm gonna take the shot right now. Exactly. Like, if y'all can't figure y'all beef together, I'm gonna take the shot.
I got it. He's like the older brother that's just like, "We're not gonna argue. I'll do it." But no, we love you, but we don't really want you to do it. Not to say Marcus Smart ain't got no offense because he's coming. Like, we know I'm from Oklahoma State.
I've been watching since he was in high school. Fine, man.
He's come so far. And it's like, shout out to him. He's come so far. But I don't want you taking the last shot over Tatum and Brown.
Because actually, you took the last shot. What was that, in game 4 against the Sixers?
He did, yeah.
it was like,
and he took it with conviction, like he was supposed to, like that's his job.
Yeah.
And a lot of people figured like, okay, that's a problem.
Yes, exactly.
That's a problem.
Exactly.
And Tatum and Brown, they're not gonna step to him because Marcus Smart ain't gonna play with you, man.
He's one of those enforcers. You just be like, you right, man. You got it. Hey, yeah. So we gotta set our differences before we come to him. So yeah.
He's in the perfect situation now to really, really establish something in that Grizzlies locker room, man. Because he already gonna have a chip on his shoulder with being. Yeah. He said he thought he's gonna retire or something. He's gonna have a chip on his shoulder for that, and like that locker room needs a vet.
Well, I think they have one. It's just that they're not relatable. The vets not relatable.
That. Right, they need a vet that one can relate to them and also contribute on the court.
Well, he was hurt this year. He's the vet, but he's just not relatable. The man's, I hate, he's from what, New Zealand? But he's from America. These kids are from America.
Steven Adams can tell Ja to chill and Ja laugh and not listen, which is what he did. Steven Adams told Ja to chill after the Denver incident. They called a team meeting, actually. Steven Adams called a team meeting. And how did that work?
Exactly, it's just like, bro, like, you look at him like, damn, yeah, you right, big fella, you right, OG. from New Zealand, bro. You don't know nothing about going on out here in America, boy.
Marcus Smart might put them paws on John Moran if you have to.
Yeah, most definitely.
And an organization would say, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. But speaking of John Moran. Oh, yeah, yeah. Speaking of John Moran, man, how do you feel about the 25-game suspension? I know me, I'm going to say my opinion, right? I mean, I don't think he should have got suspended. That's just me, because he didn't do anything criminal. He didn't go to jail. He didn't break a law. He didn't do any of that. I think this is more of a Adam Silver felt that he was lied to by John Moran, saying that, hey, I'm going to stay away from the guns or whatever, because – at the end of the day, he didn't break any laws. He didn't do anything that was detrimental. I don't feel it was detrimental to the league. Even if it was a gun or a toy gun, he didn't shoot it. No one got hurt. Like, nothing happened. It was just a black man with a lot of money. I already had one incident, and he told the person that disciplined, I'm going to stop messing with it. He backdoored and do it again.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I see both sides. My stance, I'm glad it was only 25 games, because I can agree with why you didn't want him to get suspended. I felt that way a little bit, but I also understood why they were going to suspend him, because we understand who he works for and the image that they want. So from that perspective, like, us being adults and, like, we know that they're going to suspend him and why. But I'm just glad they didn't do overkill with, like, 40 games and all that type of stuff. Now, it does suck. They did 25 to an extent, because it's like he can't make all NBA now in the new CBA, which is messing with money. But at least he can come back and have enough of a season to where he can impact the Grizzlies. And at the end of the day, like you said, nobody got hurt. He didn't do anything illegal. We should be able to watch him play basketball, because that's what he does. He plays basketball. It is not the mayor, not the president. Plays basketball. And was what he did, was the smartest thing? No, but it's also Generation Z culture. So from that perspective, I understand it. But at the end of the day, he didn't do anything illegal. Nobody got hurt. But he also has a job that told him, don't do that again. And he did it. So 25 games is like meeting in the middle. We're not going to take the whole season from you, but you're not going to make us look stupid either, because we told you not to do. And I think it's, like you said, I think that's more so what it's about. But like, hey, we told you not to do this. Now you kind of, it's almost like you're trolling this, because he was like,
these guys made the video that of the toy gun? It was just like, all right, man.
We're going to sit you down, but at least it's not like, hey, you can't come back till February. That would have been like, all right, bro, like, relax. This isn't prep school basketball. This is the NBA. These guys are paid athletes. Yeah. He did something stupid, but he's a grown ass man too. So,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
But,
exactly.
So yeah, I don't have an issue with the 25. I'm just glad it wasn't half a season.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, 25 is what season started, like around Halloween.
Yeah, so it's probably like December, maybe about Christmas.
Around December, huh? Like a little bit before Christmas, probably.
Yeah, hopefully you can get playing the Christmas Day if they have a Christmas Day game.
They're probably scared to put the Grizzlies on national TV the way they
have. Hey, you might the large missions they do have, you sit back and you be like, yeah, you might be scared to play them boys, but
might be scared to play them boys. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think that with them trading for Marcus Smart, if they were to bring Dylan Brooks back, that would be a good idea? I know they said they wouldn't, but do you think, like, maybe revisiting saying that they wouldn't and bringing them back would make their team better?
No, it wouldn't. Dylan Brooks is, how can I say this? Dylan Brooks is unplayable.
He might be playing for the Rockets, though.
Yeah, that's because of the veteran presence. It's not because his talent. The man, I think his career shooting is, what, 40%, maybe 41% from the field. I think maybe 20-something from three.
But, I mean, he brings the intensity and all those other intangible things.
That's what I'm saying, but does he really? Because this is the same guy who we watched wear a pleated type belt. You know what I'm saying? Have the John Cena wear.
So he did before he let all of that stuff go to his head, because there was a reason that he was able to start doing all of those antics, because he was starting to gain respect around the league for his play. And then I think the antics got in the way of his play. But, you know, 3 years ago, when Memphis was breaking the hump and getting out of those play-ins and really showing people that they were a team on the rise, like, Dylan Brooks was an important piece of that. And then
well, he's an important piece of the chain because his numbers are still 40%.
Fast.
he on the court, he didn't do it. Like, he would shoot, like, people like, oh, he can shoot. Yeah, he doesn't make 3 3-pointers, but he's taking 11.
his ego is through the roof. So
yeah, exactly. You're right about that. Like, as far as like his antics, they overtook his play because, like I said, he gained the respect. He got the notoriety, and then all of a sudden, now I know
Dylan Brooks. Like, I used to know Dylan Brooks from Oregon because I actually watched him there. Good player at Oregon. Yeah. And I was like, I wonder what he's going to turn into in the NBA. But, like, I never thought that, like, I see this dude dressed like Stone Cold Steve Austin going to a free game. Like, exactly. What?
Exactly. And also, I hate to say, like, where they're at, like, Memphis, that's a ground, a blue-collar, white-collar type. I mean, like, a real, like, get-out-the-mud type city. So, right. it just all fell in line with what, you know what I'm saying, he was – trying to bring his image and everything like that, like
grit and grind.
Like they try to get away, and like you see how Memphis tried to get away when they traded Z-Bo. I mean, traded Michael Conley, traded Z-Bo, retired, Marcus, all those guys left. They were trying to get a new image, but it's just like it came back to now it's grit and grind, new age, and so that thing, and it's just tough the city that they're in. And nothing to the city, nothing to disrespect Memphis. Memphis is a beautiful city. I've been. Before I've been a few things out there in Memphis, so it's kind of right now it's a bad, it's kind of like a sore eye, you know what I'm saying? It's like can you have some good basketball players there? Like now you got Marcus Smart coming in, you still got John, still got Brandon Clark who's gonna come back from
you
injury.
You got John Rack with the last two defensive players.
Exactly. So I like that. They have some talent there. They definitely have some talent there. Man, is there any other thing you want to get into, Chris? You know what I'm saying? Being a guest host or filling stats, man? Anything else you want to talk about, get into?
Man, overall, I'm just, you know, it is the summer months, but I do find myself kind of entertained by, like, what's going on in all the sports. I think we all getting that itch. We ready for football. We definitely ready for football. But it's good to see these training camp reports out. Who's been performing at OTAs and all of that good stuff. So I'm looking forward to the off season and all and then of basketball and also what's to come of football, man. I think we got parity to an extent in both sports, which like makes everything really, really interesting. And neither league is scared to make a trade to like drastically change the team. I think like football wise, right now, I'm really interested to see where Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins land. It's weird, the difference between basketball and football. These are all pro-type players, and they've been free agents for over a month. And it's just like, you know, in the NBA, that would never happen, but in football, it's pretty common. But, like, whoever they land with, they're going to really be able to help the team.
Yeah.
But it's just weird, you know?
Yeah, you're right about that, man. You're right about that. That's definitely, it's just where, like I said, they're veterans, so they're not trying to go through all these OTAs and minicamps. So that's why it's taking longer than normal. But like you said, they have time to sit down and actually scout out whatever team they want to go to, whatever they pick. They can scout and see what they need to do, man. Take it to another level.
I hear Dalvin's also asking for a nice piece of change, too. So that'll be interesting to see because – the perfect fit for them both would be the Patriots, in my opinion. They need both of those positions. Mac Jones, his development is really hinging on him having somebody to throw the ball to they can count on. And, you know, Dalvin Cook can help any team he's on, any systems, that type of back. I think that the Patriots would be a great fit for them both. I just knew that's not how they move. So
yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's not how they move. It's definitely not how they move. And it's just more, like you said, like the money. Yeah, because running back is probably the most hit position right now in the NFL, most definitely. Because even with Saquon,
underpaid.
Yeah.
You want to find running backs. I do want to find a running back at the car dealership selling cars. That's what the NFL wants.
Yeah, exactly. But I will. The other thing, like this. this kind of dead period, but make sure y'all, you know how people call this a dead period, but I would like to call it a dead period because we still got WNBA, man. We got the WNBA going, we got baseball going. So we still got some things going on, and then I know the Women's World Cup is coming up, I want to say, for the U.S. Mm-hmm. I know they just dropped the roster for that. So it's some sports out there. We definitely going to try to get some more shows in, grind some more shows out for you guys. And I appreciate Chris, you know what I'm saying, being on the show for us today. This is Feeling Stats. Hey, man, great show. Shout out to Kobe. Shout out to Ant. Make sure, you know what I'm saying, y'all follow them. Make sure, Chris, let them know where they can follow you at so they can, you know what I'm saying.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Misfit Chris. Pop up on either one. Appreciate y'all for having me today. Invite me back, man. I had a good time. Really did.
Oh, yeah. Really did. Oh, yeah. So we most definitely will get you back on here, man. Like I said, make sure when this drops, make sure y'all send it to your aunties, cousins, mamas, daddies, brothers, sisters, all of the above. We are going to be, make sure you follow our YouTube page, which is Feeling Stats. It's on YouTube. We're also on Instagram, Feeling Stats. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Big guest, and Chris will definitely be back. Make sure y'all follow the show, man. This is another episode of Feeling Stats. Y'all be easy.
Peace.